Welcome to Gear Vlogs Automotive Podcast. I'm your host, Mario Gear, where I share my enthusiasm for all topics automotive. Welcome to Gear Vlogs Automotive, episode 18. In today's video, I talk about Automobilia, Lamborghini, and Carbon Champagne. Tesla shows how prefab supercharger units save time and cost, as well as supercharger V4 revealed to be twice as powerful. Don't put your child seat in your Ferrari SF90. Stradale until this recall is fixed. Stunt pilot lands airplane on the world's shortest runway. A helipad, and Volkswagen introduces the ID2 all affordable EV concept with nearly 300 mile range. If this is your first time here, thanks for clicking that play button. I'm Mario Gear, and I've been involved in the automotive industry for well over 15 years. I'm sharing my enthusiasm for all things automotive topics with you. Let's begin. Our first story, Automobilia, Lamborghini, and Carbon Champagne. Forging an exclusive and authentic partnership for Automobilia Lamborghini events. Automobilia Lamborghini and Carbon Champagne toasted its new partnership at the Italian super sports car brand's St. Augusta Bolognese factory. Carbon Champagne was created in 2011 by Carbon CEO Alexandria Ma, a fifth generation heir to his Davari family champagne house established in 1920. His low volume exclusive champagne is produced using hand processed Grand Cru and Premier Cru fruit from the family's vineyards, stored in oak barrels for a depth and character of flavor, then bottled in the carbon crafted bottles. The carbon wrap of the bottles is constructed from a complex 37-step process applied in various carbon and colored finishes, and importantly protecting the precious champagne from light and preserving its taste. The ultra-premium champagne crafted in time-honored tradition with the high-tech innovation of the carbon fiber bottles, Carbon Champagne will be a partner supporting both for the motorsport events as well as exclusive lifestyle celebrations. Lamborghini is a brand that evokes tradition, craftsmanship, and future tech in everything it does, said Automobilia Lamborghini chairman and CEO Stefan Wickelman. Carbon Champagne conjures similar celebrations of an authentic, exclusive, and aspirational lifestyle, and our partnership is a vivid reflection of both brands' approach to using traditional skills alongside cutting-edge ideas and technologies. CEO of Champagne Carbon said, "We strive for excellence in all that we do, in production of our champagne through the unique carbon presentation and the experience that results from a taste beyond mastering of our field of competence. Our principle reflected those of the automobile Lamborghini. Our champagne house represents more than inspirational product. It's a way of life and a philosophy." There you go. Carbon Champagne. And, yeah. Let's see here. Interesting bottle. The two founders. Yep. Interesting. Yeah. Anybody want to guess the price tag for one of those bottles? Leave your guess down below. Tesla shows how prefabricated supercharger units save time and cost. The fully assembled supercharger sites come with stalls mounted on a concrete slab and grid connectivity ready electrical components. Let's read on. Tesla shared new details about the prefabbed supercharger units, or PSUs, it makes at all its plant in Buffalo, New York. In a series of tweets accompanied by a short video and photos, the EV maker explained that PSUs are fully assembled supercharger sites that come with stalls mounted on a concrete slab and electrical components prepared for grid connectivity. This enables the company to get new supercharger sites up and running significantly faster and reduce the time needed for construction to days instead of weeks. Obviously, this helps Tesla develop its supercharger infrastructure much faster than competitors. As of November 2022, Tesla said it had 40,000 superchargers at over 4,000 different locations around the world, making it the largest global DC fast charging network. The company pledged to add over 10,000 superchargers this year. U.S. President Joe Biden recently commended Tesla for its role in the administration's target to have a national network of 500,000 chargers by 2030. Roughly 17,000 Tesla superchargers are active in the United States. More than half of the 40,000 plus superchargers around the world were made at the Buffalo plant by a team of 2,000 employees. They are now also building prefabricated supercharger units using V3 superchargers. Earlier this month at Tesla's Investor Day, Rebecca Tinucci, the company's head of charging infrastructure teams, mentioned briefly Giga New York PSUs. We have extended our excellence in manufacturing to how we build supercharger sites. We are pre-building 4-post supercharger units at Gigafactory New York. We load them on a truck. We truck them to the site. Then we crane them into position. She also revealed that Tesla saves 15% of the deployment cost thanks to the PSUs, in addition to the shorter installation time. Tesla's tweets got huge amounts of attention, with Monroe Live chiming in and asking if they can tear one prefab supercharger unit down at a time. This article was published, the EV maker had not replied. In one of the tweets, Tesla also said Giga New York is also making the next generation superchargers, the V4, and the semi-chargers. Tesla reportedly plans to build prefabricated units at least at some of the V4 superchargers, but it is yet to make the official announcement. All right, on to our next story. Tesla supercharger V4 reveals to be twice as powerful. Tesla Supercharger V4 has been revealed to have the potential to be twice as powerful as the previous generation. We are finally starting to get a little more information about the specs of the Supercharger V4, the latest generation of Tesla's popular DC fast charging station. Last year, we reported on Tesla's Supercharger V4 design being revealed in the plans for a new station. Tesla is believed to be ramping up production of the new charger in order to start deployment soon. The new charger is expected to feature the potential for a higher charge rate, which is currently capped at 250 kilowatts for the Supercharger V3, and a solution to allow CCS charging for non-Tesla electric vehicles. The CCS solution was later revealed to be the Magic Dock. Thus far, we have only seen it deployed on Supercharger V3 stations, and the V4 had yet to show its face until earlier this month. We reported that Tesla started to deploy its first known Supercharger V4 stations in the Netherlands. However, the station was still covered at the time. Yesterday, we reported a first look at the station, and today, Tesla officially launched it. But again, Tesla did not reveal any new information about the next generation Supercharger other than the obviously a long cable. However, thanks to local Tesla owners visiting the new charger station, we are learning a little more about its power. A Tesla owner spotted the electric car specs of the charger, revealing a rated voltage of 1,000 volts and a rated current of 615 amp. Interesting. That would mean a total max power output of 600 kilowatts. Of course, the top rated output is rarely something that is maintained or even achieved, but theoretically, that is what the new Supercharger V4 can do. The other limitations is at the car level. Most Tesla vehicles today won't be able to accept half of the amount of that power, and that's when they are almost entirely depleted. It could indicate whether Tesla plans to go with an electric vehicle in the near future. Also, we don't know if Tesla splits that power through. That strategy is something that the automaker previously moved away from with the Supercharger V3. So, yep, gotta love it. More power. Yeah, comment below what you think. It's like, yeah, I could see that. It's like, yeah, great, they have faster charging systems, but the current vehicles probably aren't capable of accepting it. So, without doing any harm, maybe they'll be able to open up the ability to take on the faster chargers with firmware updates. I don't know. What do you guys think? Comment down below. On to the next story. Don't put your child seat in your Ferrari SF90 Stradale until this recall is fixed. The NHTSA is recalling 13 SF90 Stradales equipped with medium-sized seats. If you're an owner of one of the 13 specific Ferrari SF90 Stradales with the size M seat in the U.S., make sure you don't install a child seat. The National Highway Safety Administration is recalling the SF90 Stradale because the airbag may impact your kid's seat. Document shows that Ferrari became aware of the issue in July of 2022 during homologation pre-testing for a new version of the SF90. The recall effort affects 2021 through 2023 SF90 coupes and 2022 Spiders, but again, only if you got the medium-sized seats. According to the NHTSA, because of this issue, these SF90s failed to comply with federal motor vehicle safety standards until the seats are fixed. Ferrari is telling owners not to put a child seat in their 986 horsepower hybrid supercar. It's a real bummer for sure. Don't cry for those folks too much, though. The remedy is a quick and simple one. All owners have to do is take their SF90 Stradale to the dealer and they will replace the medium-sized passenger seat with an extra-large passenger seat free of charge. It's probably safe to assume that the bigger seat will give the child seat enough room to avoid direct impact with the passenger airbag. The NHTSA says owners will be notified of the recall via and by mail by April 30th if you're an impatient SF90 owner are worried that your $600,000 Ferrari may be impacted. You can plug in your VIN on the NHTSA website in the meantime. Yeah, bummer. And move on to the next story. Okay, let's go. Stunt pilot lands airplane on the world's shortest runway, a helipad. Red Bull pilot landed a Carbon Cub on the Burj Al Arab's 88-foot-wide helipad. Interesting. I don't think I've ever seen anyone actually land a helicopter on the Burj Al Arab Hotel in Dubai. The closest I've gotten was an Aston Martin airlifted a Vanquish on top of the Burj Al Arab to celebrate the automaker's Centauri in 2013. That same year, Red Bull Racing had former F1 driver David Coulthard spin donuts on the pad. Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy have played golf on the helipad. Roger Federer and Andre Agassi played on the top of the 56-story hotel. Now I've seen someone land a plane on the helipad. And Red Bull has the video footage on their YouTube channel. I'll try to include links of that into the footage. That's a big plane. Yep. Okay, let's move on to the next story. Volkswagen introduces ID2 All affordable EV concept with nearly 300 mile range. VW introduced its much anticipated affordable EV Wednesday, deemed the ID2 All concept with up to 450 kilometer range or 279 miles. after doubling down on its electric vehicle strategy with a new close to $200 billion investment to accelerate digitization and EV development over the next 5 years, Volkswagen is plowing ahead with a new EV concept. VW delivered over 570,000 EVs last year, maintaining its position as BEV market leader in Europe. Yet, the automaker believes it's well positioned for future growth with several new vehicle releases on deck to fend off incoming competition from Tesla and many others. Volkswagen has introduced its economical electric vehicle, the ID.2 All concept, that costs under $27,000. The ID.2 All is as spacious as its Golf model and is inexpensive as the Polo, sitting below the recently upgraded ID.3 and up to 279-mile range and several new features. CEO Volkswagen Passenger Cars, Thomas Schaefer, explains. VW's affordable EV will be based on the new modular electric drive MEB platform, dubbed the MEB Entry platform, and will be the first vehicle with the front wheel drive based on it. Initial plans call for VW's ID Life concept to be the first affordable EV based on the new platform, designed for the smaller car segment, but those plans have seemingly been tossed to the side. Interior and exterior design. The exterior takes inspiration from Volkswagen's classics like the Beetle and Golf, previewing a new design language from the automaker. On the outside, the ID.2 All features a clear and powerful stance with strong fender flares covering a wide track, long wheelbase, and short overhangs alongside a cleaned-up front end. Volkswagen recently brought back former Bentley and Audi designer André Mindet as head of design for Volkswagen passenger cars, who said the VW ID.2 All concept is based on three pillars: stability, likable, and enthusiasm. One of the most prominent elements of the new interior design is the C-pillar design developed for the first Golf model. As such, the interior features a spacious, high-quality appearance. The 12.9 touch display has a new menu structure with a separate air condition control panel below it. In addition, the new multifunction steering wheel is minimalist with two thumb wheels and buttons on either side. Powered by a powerful electric drive motor, the ID.2 All, with an output of 222 horsepower and 226 PS, achieving a 0 to 60 mile per hour in just under 7 seconds. Volkswagen said the new electric car can be charged to 80% in less than 20 minutes, although specifications are not mentioned. Despite the ID.2 All being deemed a concept vehicle, Volkswagen says it will unveil the production version of the ID.2 All for all European markets in 2025, with a goal of starting at least €25,000. The automaker now plans for at least one in every five vehicles sold globally to be electric by 2025, with the production versions of the ID.2 All being one of 10 EV launched by VW by 2026. This year, the VW will introduce the new ID.3, the ID Buzz, and the ID.7, which will follow up by a compact electric SUV in 2026. Unfortunately, it doesn't look like Volkswagen has plans to bring the ID.2 all concept to the U.S. The good news is, however, is that VW is planning to bring it to production. The real question will be, can they produce it for the price they're saying, or perhaps more importantly, can they produce it profitably at that price? And under $27,000, a good-looking electric vehicle and nearly 300-mile range from VW brand would be, in my opinion, sell well. So, yeah, what do you guys think? Comment down below. And that pretty much ends it for this one. Be sure to so that pretty much ends it for this one. So comment down below what you guys think of this episode. Like, comment, share. Let me know how I'm doing. So till next time.